Well, praise the Lord. The thing I want to share with you as we're going into our subject this morning here, we're teaching, again, receiving the power of God. We started last week, we were talking about really dealing the areas of what we tolerate and what God tolerates and what He don't. And we're looking at things, we're going to continue to look at that. One of the things this week, I don't know about you, have any of you been in the last, whether it might even be more than some months, maybe quite a time here, just get a sense of a lot of pressure. It seems like sometimes you get ahead in an area and then it's just like you're back and you're going through this thing going on and this pressure. Well, this week, I was just talking to the Lord about some of these things, and because I don't know about you, boy, there's been a lot of, and I haven't had like physical things come against me, but there has been spiritual pressure. There's just been things. It's just like trying to hook up in things of the Spirit is just a hard, hard push. And I was talking to the Lord about this, and the Lord spoke to me. He said this to me, and this will be beneficial to you because of what's going on. Because I said to Him, I knew people in the congregation, people, problems and things coming up, things, people facing, doing things. And I said to the Lord about it, about what's going on. And He said, it's because of the Word. It's because of the Word. He said, what you're preaching, He said, the devil does not want preached. He doesn't want it preached. And He said, He's putting pressure. He wants you to stop. He wants the people to stop. This is what He's doing. He wants things to stop. And He said, you just got to push ahead. You come to place of things as the Bible talks about perseverance. And, we're going to deal with, maybe talk about some of that today. I don't know, just by the Holy Ghost, whatever we're going to do. Because that is really where most people in the faith realm have their big problems. They don't have perseverance. There's a real problem. They can't endure for any amount of time. And number one, they won't do, is number one, one of the biggest things is with success in military is when the enemy made a big gain, you better come back with a counterattack. Because if you don't, you may never get the ground back again. You got to learn to do that. And most people don't. Most people, when something comes against them, they want to withdraw. They want to, go hide somewhere and, go hide in the house and go hide doing this and that and find other things to do so they don't have to face problems. That's what people do. And but you have to face them. I woke up this morning. I woke up. It was about 4:15, and I was laying in bed because I just woke up and I was awake. And I don't like to. I thought, well, if I'm going to be awake, you want to use your time. If you're going to lay there awake, you don't think about something stupid, or worried about the car needs washed or something dumb. What people do, and they think about all these things that don't amount to a hill of beans. But I just laying there listening on the inside, thinking, was God saying something to me? And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to spend time praying because there's just been spiritual pressure coming. So I laid there and I prayed for about a half an hour, about 4:30. And then I just got in my spirit, need to get up and pray. So I got up and I just prayed and spent time just praying about this thing with this pressure. And I just got hooked over and praise God, I got a release. Spending time just praying. It's one thing you're going to have to do. You get to push against things. Most people don't. Most people are looking, let's go, they get under pressure. It's one of the things, things people want to get depressed because things start going and they're not going the way you want to them. You want to get, now I got this problem, now I got that. You start doing those things. After a while, you're under a rock somewhere, and a rock's sitting on top of you, and you help build that rock by not pushing against these things and pushing against, trying to deal with spiritual problems because of physical things. Most people do that. This is a great failure. Lots of times people, this is what they do. There's a great problem people do with their physical problems. I believe in divine healing, but if you don't deal with spiritual things, you're just going to be dealing with your physical thing all the time. It's going to stay. You got to deal with things. Pressure that's going on today and that stuff, sickness and disease that's dominating and ruling things today has a spiritual core is what its problem is. You better deal with it. And if you don't deal with your spiritual core, what's with you? It's like Kenneth Hagin, and I have a series that he taught at a minister's conference. And, he said, the greatest problem of healing in the church is the fact that the Christians never deal with, what's the cause. The curse don't come without a cause. You ain't walking around, 5 years sick and there ain't a cause. I don't care how much you believe in divine healing. If nothing's ever manifesting, you got a cause you're not dealing with. And you got to deal with it. You got a problem. You're messed up somehow. Quit telling everybody you're all right. God knows it's a lie. God knows you're lying. So, and you know what? Everybody else does too. So you can't hide this stuff, you know? And see, you got to push. You got to get over the things that fight. Well, Lord, what's going on? You know, this morning I got up praying. You know, Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? What do I need? I'm pushing against his pressure. I don't want to give the devil a foothold. I don't want something in me allows him to get a foothold. Number one, we need this one thing I was praying about. It kept coming to me, the anointing destroys the yoke. Well, the anointing, we're dealing with the power of God and the power of God on our lives. There's things that you do, you can do that diminish the power of God on your life, that diminish it. One of the things that we have today, from back in the 80s when I came to the kingdom, 90% of Christians have a diminished power of God that they had back then. And it's because of what they've done. They aren't doing what they did back then. They want a move of God because what they want, somebody to wave a wand and then this thing just happens. It goes on. It doesn't operate that way or happen that way. So you have to find out causes of things. Why is it? It's just like this morning. I'm praying. I'm like, God, Lord, I need a breakthrough. Praise God. What do I got to do to get a breakthrough? You know, if I have to take some hours and spend time with God to get a breakthrough, it'd be good to do that. And I did this morning. I just taken time because, number one, I said to the Lord, I don't want to step in the pulpit, you know, me trying to get free. You know, most people don't mind that. They live under bondage so long, they're just willing to do it all their life. They're just willing to follow the devil all their life and just put up with it. Whatever you're willing to put up with, you will. And I just want to say something, and this is not being mean. It's just the truth. If some of this stuff isn't dealt with, folks, it's going to get worse for you. It's not going to get... The devil is not backing off. You're going to have to push him off. And if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile, and next week he'll take 2 and 5 and 10 miles. You're going to have to push back on things. We're living in perilous times. Jesus said concerning... perilous times. And so this is important because it's the power of God. We want to live and walk under the power of God. You have to have the anointing. You can sit around and quote the Bible all you want, but if you ain't got no anointing, who cares? We want to quote the word and have an anointing too. I want to quote the word and have an anointing. I want to say the word under an anointing, not just going around and just blabbing the words, saying, well, this is what I believe, and the devil's laughing and rolling around on the floor, having himself a big time laughing, knowing it ain't working. It's hooking up into the power of God, anointed lives. We have an anointing, but I tell you, that anointing can wane. And we want to talk about this morning. We talked last week, talk about tolerance. And I use the things about as, you know, tolerance, because we live in this world today and it's all about tolerance. You know, it's all this junk, you know. In other words, you put up with everybody's junk. And what everybody wants to believe or wants to do, you should just tolerate it. You should do it. Well, we found that Jesus don't tolerate things. We're going to look a lot of scripture as we teach around in this area dealing with this tolerance. Now, one of the things I looked at and I read last week concerning tolerance, a definition, it's the capacity to endure pain or hardship. That's one of the areas, is the capacity to do that. Now, that's just tolerance. What can you tolerate, you know, in those kinds of areas? One of the things you need to have a tolerance for that kind of thing, of what you can endure. You should be able to endure hardship. You should be able to do that. You should have a tolerance. Every Christian should have a tolerance for hardship. If you don't, you will never be a faith person. So don't fake it. Going around confessing the word, telling people you believe the word, and you can't tolerate anything. Every little thing throws you. You can't do that. And we're going to find out in dealing with these areas is number one, you know, I always think of the thing that always comes to me is Paul says, you know, be a good soldier. Well, a soldier learns how to tolerate stuff. You turn around and you tolerate hardship. And, you know, if you don't learn how to do that, there is no point of faith. Everything's a fake beyond that when it goes to fake. Now, one of the other things of tolerance is sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. The act of allowing something, and that's today. It's, well, what I believe is all right and what the other guy believes is all right too. You know, we're Christians and you believe and believe. And, you know, just today is a big thing. You know, we're both going to the same place. You know, we're going. No, we're not. I ain't going to hell with them. I am not going to hell. And I'm not going to hell with a lot of people who call themselves Christians. That's where they're going to end up. I'm not being mean, because they say they're Christians don't make you a Christian. There's a belief system that we have to be a Christian. And once you have that belief system, have a changed life. Now, we're talking today about this. Is one of the things is, and we did last week, is the one of the meanings of tolerance we were dealing with, the allowable deviation from a standard. This is one of the things they're doing. Today there's allowable deviations from standard. In fact, we're making the standard so wide, there is no standard. The standard is gone. You know, we just keep widening the standard. You know, it's like, you know, the colleges are pushing for, and they're saying, well, they're going to give people, allow them into college on the basis of race. Well, now just think of that standard. Now, you have to do this. If a person gets into a school because of their race and they are not able to do the work, that means you're going to have to change the tolerances of what graduation you can know to graduate. You're going to have to change that, or it's a whole defeat of why you put them into college. And to make your thing work, you have to lower the standard so you can look good, like you did something good for them. And then just think of it. So whatever happens, so when companies hire, they have to lower their standards. Because the people that are coming in from the colleges have lower standards. And you can't find people to meet your standards. Everything gets lowered. Boy, the devil knows what he's doing. And I tell you what, he's doing it through the church. He's got the church bought on this stuff, hook, line, and sinker. The church works for the devil so good, it's amazing. The church is one of their best workers for the devil. Helping him get his system along. And they put the big word, love. I'll tell you, the word today, love, is such a perverted word. It's perverted. It is sick. It's demonic. It's demented. When somebody tells me that God loves them, I don't even have a clue what they mean. We'd have to sit down and do some real definition stuff to find out what they're talking about. God loves everybody, you know. God does love everybody. You know, but God don't tolerate everybody and everything. He doesn't tolerate them. How does God deal with people? Now, we looked at some things last week, and God's dealing, and what he said to Peter, he talked to Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me." Now, today, would that be tolerated in the church? We would have no tolerance for anybody saying such a thing. This one, you know, I'm just telling you straight out, if Jesus Christ came to the earth and started visiting churches, most churches would definitely put him out. They would not want him. Loads of the big name TV preachers, they wouldn't want him in their ministry. Why? Because he'd correct. I want to look this morning at something. I want you to turn to Matthew 14. I want you to see Jesus here. We're going to read a story. Jesus, if we read, you read back further into this, Jesus had been ministering to people. He sent his disciples away on a boat and told them to go across the water. He told them again, go across the lake there, the Red Sea. He said, go across there on the other side. Then he went up on a mountain and prayed. Now, he said that, says the Bible says that the wind was contrary while they're out there in the water. And they're supposed to be going across. Jesus comes down. It's nighttime. Jesus comes down and starts walking across the water toward them. And they think it's a ghost coming out across, or a spirit coming across the water. That's what they think it is. Now, in verse 27 says this, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Hey, great try. I'm really glad to see that you were just willing to step out of that boat. I am just really glad you took a shot at it, Peter. We're going to give you an award for trying. You'll get the trophy at our next meeting. Now, I want you to think. Let's put that. What did he really say to him? Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I want you to see that. Peter has got out to walk on the water, and Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." I am sure of this 100% because the things Jesus has been dealing with me on is he would say to 99.9% of the church today, "Oh, you of little faith." You know, one thing is I really like about Peter. Peter would get rebuked. He didn't quit. He's not like most of the churches today. You go rebuking, and most people are the top offender. You're just offended. Boy, you know, saying something to me. Embarrassing me in front of other people. Saying something that just hurt my darn feelings. And oh, my God, Jesus would never hurt my feelings. You know, because they don't know Jesus. Peter stuck with it. He didn't get moved. He stayed with it. You know what I like? You know, Peter, I like him. You know, Peter runs down and the tomb, you know, is open and Peter runs right inside the tomb. John stands outside. He's Mr. Respectful. Peter's like, "No, I'm going to see if this thing's real or not. I'm going to see if the boy's here or not." He's going to go inside. You know, most Christians today, they're just this little wimpy up to the door thing. It's just like, you know, you're going to minister to people. Yes, anybody want to get healed sickness? And nobody wants to come. Finally, one person comes. Then after they see, then another person. Nobody will get up. And that weak faith, and I'm going to tell you, that is a sign of weakness of faith. That's a sign of weakness of belief. If you thought you were going to get something, you'd get off your stupid rear end and get up and come up. Now, that might hurt your feelings, but you better get your feelings hurt. This is why nothing works. The Lord said to me this week, did you ever hear of anybody say, "I'm too sick to go to the doctor"? But he said they're too sick to do all kinds of things. They can't go to the church. They're too sick. But you know what he's trying to bring across is what people, we have a belief system and we follow that and it's hindering us. And we have a thing. We think, "Oh, I'm trusting God." But we really, there's other things we have much greater faith in. There's a much greater faith. Most spirit-filled Christians that believe in healing have a much greater faith in physical healing with a doctor. Much greater faith. They have much greater faith in that area. See, that's a thing you have to deal with. See, I found out a long time ago, if I want to get over into the areas of divine health, you can't go over to the areas of divine health if you can't get past the divine healing thing. See, it's dealing, now this stuff sounds bad, but it's a faith issue. And we have to deal with it. Everybody, all of us have to deal with it. There's things you run up on. There's things that I guarantee there's some of you, and just like myself, there's things that I've had faith in, and I find myself have diminished over time. Backed off from it. That ain't right. I can't act like, you know, I'm just going to go make some confessions and I'm just going to have something. No, I got to bring myself back to where I was. I got to do that. You have to do that in your faith. I got to sit down and measure my faith. Jesus measured his faith. I want you to just think about this, though, as going on. Let's say, you know, okay, I'll take Jesus' place. So here I am. I'm walking across the water. I'm walking down across there. And Mike says, "Hey, Ed! Hey, Ed, if that's you, tell me to come out in the water. Come on out in the water." And Mike gets up and walks out in the water. And then Mike starts sinking. And I grab a hold of him and look and say, "What's the matter with you, Mike? What's the matter with your faith?" Now, here's what religious people do. But now, that was Jesus talking. See, throw it right over there and kill everybody's faith. Well, see, Jesus can say that. Nobody else can. I'm going to tell you, if man can't speak to you, the Bible don't. Woo! Good preaching, Ed! God anoints people to say stuff. That's the way it is. And I tell you what, God's been talking to me about me, you know. So I'm going to come talk to you about you. Because we all got to get it fixed. There's things that we got to get fixed. I mean, just think about Jesus. Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? Now, I want you to, so here's what happens going on. Now, think about this. Peter stepped out. Now, understand this. The wind was blowing when Peter stepped out. But you know what? Peter stepped out is like most people in faith. They got the word, and they're all excited. You know, they came to church. Ed was preaching. Got them psyched out on their faith, and they just jumped out of the boat. And then they went home and sank. The same wind was blowing. The same stuff was going on when they were in church. But what happens is this. When you get outside, you go out, and now you did something. You had little faith, and you jumped out of the boat, and you didn't have the faith to walk it till you got home. That's Peter. Peter jumped out of the boat. But as soon as he saw something, soon as he got a doctor's report, soon as something wasn't, soon as I don't feel quite right again, I felt real good at church. Now I don't feel quite as good. What happens? You'll find out if you have faith or if you don't. And if you don't understand that and you haven't learned that yet, you haven't really been listening to my preaching. This is where it's easy to get excited when you're under the preaching anointing and things are going on. That does not take any spirituality to get that. The anointing's there. It's like, wow, we're just going to go, yeah, walk out the door. And somebody says, I locked the keys in the car. Oh, my God, everything always goes wrong for me. I just don't understand it. My God, what happened? Oh, man, we did this. Now we can't do that, you know. There it goes started. Mr. and Mrs. Faith. Yeah, I tell you, I'm believing I'm healed. I'm making a confession. And it ain't working. And somebody tells you it ain't working. And boy, the first thing you want to do is jump on them. And they're exactly right. You've been going for 5 years and it ain't ever worked. And they're exactly right. You ain't got no faith. You're stupid as a stick. And but yeah, nobody's allowed to say it. Oh, don't say it. Don't say it. That's unbelief. No, that's the truth. Was Jesus trying to hinder Peter's faith? A hindrance to faith is to tell you you have faith when you don't. That's a hindrance. You saying you have faith when you don't is called a lie. We got to get a hold of it. This is not a game. This is not a game. And this is where preaching, this is not a game. The devil is coming. He's a roaring lion. He's looking to who he can eat. And he's got some big lunches. Ain't getting this boy for lunch. I'm dealing with me. I'm going to deal with my faith. You got to deal with your faith. You have to. You got to get tough on your faith. You got to get tough on it. Faith works. Faith don't go for 20 years and nothing happens. That ain't faith. Faith works. Faith produces something. God's word is the incorruptible seed. There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. Well, that was good. Now I want to go to you and give you another exciting one. Hallelujah. You know that last one there, you know what ended and said they got into the boat and he said the wind ceased. And he said, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him. Oh, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, we've got to worship now. Yipper. Now this is really a good one here. This is in Luke. I'm going to read from the Luke the 8th chapter. It's also Mark has this in it, but I want to read from Luke. Luke the 8th chapter, verse 22. Says this, verse 22, he says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Now here he's going to do it again. This is the same lake he's going back. They're going to trek out across this lake again. Here we go. This time he's in the boat with them. They launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filled with water. Now, understand, the boat's filled with water. And we're in jeopardy. You know, it says about they're in peril, or they're actually, if you look at their lives are in danger. Their lives are in danger. But their lives are in danger. So then they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. If you look this up in Mark's, you know what they said to him? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care, Jesus? You just lay there. Don't you see how bad it is for me? And Jesus went, oh, boo-hoo. So then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, oh, you guys should have woke me sooner. I'd have taken care of that for you. I would have just looked after everything. I realize the pressure that you're under. I understand. I love you and I care. See, this is an intolerant Jesus. He does not fit the church today. This Jesus does not fit the church today. This Jesus said, where's your faith? And here's their response. We're afraid. They were afraid. What did they go to? They went further away from faith. They went to fear. They weren't scared enough. Now they're scared of him. That's what faithlessness does. Faithlessness, and I've seen people do this. They will sit in a meeting where faith is taught and they're in faithlessness, and all it does is put them in more worry about things. They hear the word, well, I wonder if I can do that. Until they leave, they're just worse off than where they really got there. Oh, yeah. I've been around people already and that stuff. Worst thing that ever happened to them, they went to faith meetings. They were worse off after they listened to faith meetings. They never get themselves straightened out. They never deal with them and their problem. They don't deal with their they don't say, you know, I'm just a faithless person. No, they'll always go around and fake and make fake being a Christian. Do the old fake Christian things. Well, glory to God. Yes, I'm trusting the Lord and I'm doing this. Oh, yeah, and that. Ain't none of it going on. Ain't none of it happening. But it's good wind blowing, you know. It's nice wind blowing there, saying these things. See, these things, they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? Now, I want you to understand this. If those guys had not been taught to do better, Jesus wouldn't have been a fraud by saying what he said to them. These guys had learned nothing. They had sat in faith meetings. They had watched healings and deliverance. They watched all this stuff and they didn't have any faith at all. You don't get faith because you went to a meeting. It would have been good if you'd have went to the meeting in faith. You know, I was like, well, did you come to receive? And everybody, yeah, we came to receive. Well, what'd you come for? What are you ready? Receiving's done by faith. And if you ain't got none, you didn't come to receive. What did you come to receive by faith? Let's just see what Ed got today. Let's see what's going on out here. Let's see. Let's see if that idiot's anointed again. Let's see if he talks crazy again. Let's see if he acts like that idiot. He don't really act like. Let's see if he says all this dumb stuff. Maybe let's go watch you. Let's go see the circus. So, yep, he's the guy. He's the top hat. He's the ring leader. You know, he's just out there. Yeah, you know him. He's doing this stuff. Jesus could not have said this to them had they not been taught better, because then he would have been a fraud. What he was being was intolerant. He had expected them to believe. They had heard enough and been around enough. They should have been making a stand. Just think about this with Jesus. How embarrassing was it to the disciples with them when a centurion comes and says to him, you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, now, Jesus, dinner, all of his disciples, not just the 12, there's other disciples and there's people all around there. And he's all Jews. And he said, now understand this. This guy is a Gentile who said, you don't have to come, just say the word. And he said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Not one Jew had as much faith as that Gentile did. You can say this in the church world today. The same thing. I have not found... Faith has been a thing talked about, but not had. Faith is something you have. It's not just words spoken. It's something you have. It's something that can be seen. It's something that comes into manifestation. It's something that becomes tangible. Faith is not just words spoken and words spoken. When I got born again and I told people I accepted Jesus Christ, I had a changed life. My faith produced something. I'm a Christian and I can just do what I want, live like hell, and you know, Jesus still loves me. That is a great Christian faith, isn't it? I'll tell you, that's a good production of faith, isn't it? My faith produces more sin. My faith produces an ugly life. What do you think? Ain't that wonderful? See, this stuff here, Jesus, I mean, when we look at what Jesus is saying, where is your faith, guys? See, you're out there in a boat full of water. You'd think they had a right to act the way they do. Jesus didn't think so. Jesus would have probably said to Ed sometimes, "Hey, you stupid idiot, wake up. What's wrong with you? Quit trying to quit yelling at me and do something. Act on what you know." He's told me already that I'm supposed to act on what I know. Asking him questions, he said, "Why don't you just act on what you know?" See, well, that's a really unique idea. Maybe get a shot at that. What do you think? Act on what I know. No, we're just supposed to let Jesus do it all. Jesus is supposed to care. Oh, Jesus will do it all. No, he won't. And so I want you to go over, I'm going to look at something here. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. This will be all laughs. The book of Revelation. Now I want you to understand the importance of the book of Revelation. Revelation is a really interesting book from this standpoint. We're dealing with some of the things from it on our Wednesday night teaching. And we're even talking about some of the churches here, which we're going to talk about. The book of Revelation is a book that was dictated by Jesus Christ to John. It's the only book we have in the New Testament personally dictated by Jesus to an individual that was written that we have. And it's one that the church avoids as much as they can, saying stupid things like, "Well, it's hard to understand. Poor dumb Jesus couldn't explain nothing to his people." The faithlessness of the people is number one of the things. He wrote seven letters to seven churches, and these churches he wrote to, Jesus wrote these to commend them for the things they were doing right, but also to rebuke them of things that they were doing wrong, which you would never do today in the church. You can only pat on the back and give trophies. That's all you're allowed to do. You know, there was a big main minister back in the 90s, became very, very popular on how you were supposed to do in the churches, and he became, you know, this guy got himself a really big name, and ministers would have him in. People were buying his books like crazy on how you have to do. He started a lot of this. People don't realize. From him started a lot of this stuff we have today, again, everybody a trophy. Because he started, in the church, what you got to do, you always got to be commending people all the time. Don't ever criticize them. Don't ever say they're doing wrong. Don't tell them they're doing good. If you tell them they're doing good, they'll do better. No, they don't. They get lazy. I could have told him. I worked in a company, and we had stupid people like him, because where he got this wasn't from God or the Bible. He got them through these companies that were coming to businesses. I had to sit in some of these classes, and they would sit down and tell us how you're supposed to treat. Oh, you treat everybody just great. If somebody does something wrong, you just find a way to just make it seem nice, and you know, because then they'll do better. And I found out they just became more lazy. When they found out they could get away and didn't have to produce and still got a pat on the back, they didn't do nothing. And that's what happened in the church. That's what started this sloppy grace. What he was is a church you do all the time. You're always giving notes to people and doing that and sending them cards, and you're always, and this is the minister's job. You don't preach the gospel anymore. You just go around and try to keep everybody happy, telling them they're good, and they're all going to be great people. I listened to him, and these people were saying it's good, and I read one of his books, and I just knew this thing ain't right. There's no God in it. Now, he had scriptures he put in there that he took out of place and put them in, but the Christians bought it and bought it, and they bought his books and bought his books, and now we have all this sloppy grace come along today. We have all these things. See, I saw this stuff coming. I saw what's happening, this stuff. I tried to tell people, and I was told this by leaders, "You're just out of touch, see." That's right, I've been touched by God, so I'm touched. Let me alone. Never know, I might just be crazy. I'm going to tell you, if you follow God, you're going to seem crazy in this day and age. You're going to seem really crazy. If you want people to think you're not crazy, join them, but leave the church alone. Because I'm going to tell you, to be in the church, you're going to be called crazy. Because you're going to have to believe things ain't nobody else believing. You're going to have to believe stuff that runs contrary. Now, we're going to read concerning these churches. Jesus is dictating some letters to the churches. Now, you're going to find in the dictation of these letters that what Jesus does, he is so just sweet to all of them. He's just so sweet. These are letters. I'm going to tell you what. You need to sit down and read these letters for yourself and get some correction. You don't read these, you don't get any correction. You're messed up. You need correction. I don't know about you. I need correction. Over the years, I have read these letters many times. And you know, people say, you get your toes stepped on. You know, I got my toes stepped on at church. Well, how come you don't get it at home when you read the Bible? That's what I want to know. I get mine at home. Oh, the minister stepped on my toes. That's right, because you didn't read the Bible all week. See, it wouldn't have got He had to preach a message to tell you because you didn't deal with it. Oh my God, this man's crazy. But he's having a good time. Anyhow, so in Revelation 2nd chapter, I want to go this, and we're just going to start in verse 1 here. We're going to use this one here of the church at Ephesus. And in verse 1 of the 2nd chapter, this is Jesus. Jesus said to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. It says, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Oh, I thought we were supposed to put up with all these evil people. Jesus acted like that's good work. Huh. I know your works. He said, and you have tested those. Now listen, you've tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Who are you to judge somebody? They're commended for judging. Listen, listen what Jesus said. This is Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read some things. You've heard these, but I'm going to read them to you. This is what Jesus said. He said in verse 15, I start there. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad fruit bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Whew, sounds good. Therefore, he says, by their fruits you will know them. Jesus just said you're supposed to judge. See, they take one scripture, oh, don't judge. Pull that one out of context and throw it. Jesus commending them that they judge these guys. Look, a ministry gift needs to be judged. Are they who they say they are? Does their life live up to what it says? Let me just tell you a little story. I was in a church years ago, and the pastor got hooked up with this prophets group out of Florida. They were sort of prophets and apostles and their big thing was prophet, but they had apostles and prophets. And they called themselves. Everybody, they were always apostles and prophets. So the pastor of the church got hooked up into this. And what they would do, these were people they knew how to get to people. This is what the devil do. The devil, because there's things that he was messed up in, and they'd come to him and say, oh, you're wonderful. You're doing great. You're just, everything's good. Everything's wonderful. Yeah. This guy's, and there's things he's messed up in. But they come along, see, they got this theology, you know. They know how to come and get you. The guy that's coming telling you you're sweet all the time, I'll guarantee you he's got his hand in your life taking something. Always. That's the way they do it. They'll sweet talk you out of things. Well, that's what they did. They sweet talked him. So I got back from Raymond. I came back from Raymond. He asked me to go to a meeting that they were having, and these ministers from these different churches were all coming together to meet. And they met over at Dillsburg, at a church in Dillsburg. So I went over with the pastor, and we went into this meeting, and I found it very interesting that everyone in the meeting, except me, was an apostle or a prophet. The pastor, they told him he was an apostle. And if he was an apostle, I'm Jesus. So ain't no way he was an apostle. Now, he was a pastor, and there's nothing wrong with it. And they went on this whole thing with this meeting, and they had these guys there, and they're getting up and talking about things, and they're doing this thing, and fleshly prophesying. And doing, I mean, they're just, it was nutty. Finally, you know, they're all sitting around talking, and I just blew the meeting for them. I said, you know, there's something I don't get. I guess I don't fit here. I said, all you guys, apostles and prophets. I said, and at that time, I'm just a Bible teacher. That's all I did. And I said, I'm just a Bible teacher, and I'm just happy at it. I said, that's what God called me to be. And I don't want to. If God don't want me to do something else, we won't do anything else. I said, I'll just do this what God called me to. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If a pin would have fell on the floor, you'd have thought it was an atomic explosion. It got so quiet. I mean, dear God, they all sit around. Because all these people, now I watch. Because see, over time, the fruit of this, you watch it in time. And I said this. I watch what's going on. I said, you watch in time. The fruit of this is going to come up. What's going to happen? a number of those churches ended up falling apart and closing their doors. See, those guys came in, and what they did, they would come in, and these so-called, they'd prophesy all this wonderful stuff to get people to start, these churches would start supporting these prophets and giving them money. This was the whole thing. This one prophet that the pastor there got hooked up, you know, he one day talks to me and says about, well, you know, the pastor, we know he's not, he's messed up in this, he's messed up. I said, yeah, but you guys don't tell him that. I said, you tell him this other stuff. And I went to the pastor about it, and he got mad at me because he liked the flow of what they were doing. I said, they're talking behind your back a different way. He didn't want to hear that. Just like there's ones here today, you've been told about things, and you didn't want to hear it, but it's the truth. You don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. So you're listening to whatever you want to listen to. Don't listen to whatever you want to listen to. You want to know the truth. Because it is the truth that makes people free. It's truth that makes people... Well, he didn't want to hear that. And he went on, and this guy, you know, he had him come in the church. I don't even know if this guy was even... He had a teaching gift. I had to sit and endure. And let me tell you what, you talk about endurance. To endure one of his meetings was something, because I never heard such a lousy teacher in my life. He couldn't put two scriptures together that worked. I mean, he went through that, and I sat there and I thought, where's this guy going? He would say a scripture and he'd read a certain, he would take two or three words out of it and make this big. I'm thinking, well, how did he get that out of it? I mean, this ain't even talking about that. Where's he going with this stuff? And he's gone through all this nuttiness. Well, then, you know, afterwards, he would prophesy over people. And, you know, every prophecy over, because, you know, see, they prophesy to everybody. Anything that'll move, the chair, you slide that chair and they'll lay hands on and start prophesying. You know, they just prophesied to anything. You know, if a chicken was out there and they'd get a hold of it, they'd prophesy to it. And they prophesied to everything. And 99.9% of it was all a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. And it was all this big flowing stuff, and everybody's going to be the next best thing to sliced bread. We're all going to be president of the United States, and everybody's going to be this, and everybody's going to be... It's just all this crazy stuff that you know ain't true. And so there's things that he prophesied about people that we could easily judge. We knew that he was exactly wrong. One guy, he talked to him about his son. Guy wasn't even married, didn't have any kids. I mean, he'd just go on to things. Well, so people came to me after the service and they're complaining. I said, don't complain to me. I said, you go to the pastor, I'm staying out of this one. I said, because I knew the pastor liked this guy, was saying what he wanted to hear. So I knew it. And they went to him and he got all upset with these people. You can't say anything against the prophet. You can't speak against the prophet. But what he said wasn't true. The pastor wouldn't judge it. The people had sense to judge it, you know. And the pastor threw it up, we don't judge. You know, the devil had him on that one. You know he never read these other many scriptures. You know he never read that stuff. You're supposed to judge a gift. Is it a gift from God or isn't it? Is it working or ain't? So I learned from Kenneth Hagin, there's no gift by name. It's by deed. Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. He didn't say you'll know them by what they say they are. In other words, what they produce. Jesus said, if you have a gift in there, it'll produce, you'll see it. If you don't, you don't. If it don't show, produce. Faith. And when you ask them, that's that gift, whatever it is. Everything that God has produces. The seed produces always something. It produces. See, and this is why I was getting over in the areas and saying, I have faith in an area and it's never producing anything. Hold it. Stop, 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 stop. Faith produces something. There is nothing wrong with stopping and saying, Lord, I'm believing, you know, it's like Kenneth Hagin. One of the things that revelation I got in the story that he told, first time I ever heard him tell his story about his being raised from a deathbed after 16 years old, he was bedfast, and he was bedfast for something like, was it 16 months or something like that? He was bedfast. And he talks about him believing concerning healing and getting what the scripture is. And he was in his bed, laying in his bed, and he's mostly paralyzed. He can't move. He has an organic heart disease that, you know, he's supposed to die from. Plus he has, you know, a couple different blood diseases and different things. He has, there was four major things he had that any one of them would kill him. He's 16 years old. He doesn't have one minister, anybody around him, or not one book. of anybody on divine healing. No, none of the preachers, nobody believes in it. Everybody believes he's going to die, God's good, he loves him, and God did this for a purpose. So he gets a hold of some scriptures and he finds out. Well, he'd come along Mark 23 and 24 and Mark 11, 23 and 24. And so in Mark 11, 24, he got a hold of that. And he had a thing about believing on that, was believing it. And the Lord said this one day, and this is a thing that just, and it got me. It's a thing that I got a revelation on when I first got born again. I heard him tell the story. It was on a tape. And he said, the Lord said this to him. Yes, you believe as far as you know. In other words, this is many Christians. They believe as far as they know, and they don't listen to anything beyond. They're believing in what's that. I had a guy, I know how to do his funeral. I used to talk, try to get that across to him. He would talk about believing, and I'd say, yeah, you believe as far as you know. You ain't got some stuff. But you know what? That didn't make them happy. See, what they wanted to hear was, here's a trophy. You're really doing, you're trying your best. I knew what his trying his best was going to be, a grave. What do you do with that? You know, you think I have ministry gifts really cool to do? A lot of things I wish I didn't know. I just wish I didn't know. See, a lot of people nosy and want to know stuff. I wish I knew less about people. But I found out that with the gift, it just, stuff shows up. I think, God, tell the pastor down the street about him. I don't know. I don't want to know. But the whole thing of it is you try to minister to people. Some people, you just know flat out. Talking to them ain't going to do no good. Ain't going to do a bit of good. Ain't going to change. So you think everybody, boy, if they just knew the truth. Loads of people don't want to know the truth. They have their truth that they love and they're going to hang on to that thing if it kills them. And it does. And see, you don't want to go to that place. You don't want to be there on that one, you know. And, you know, with Kenneth Hagin, when he made that statement and he said, Jesus told him, as far as you know, you believe. And it grabbed him. 16 years old, he had more sense than 99% of Christians today. 16 years old. He hadn't gone to one faith meeting or nothing. He hadn't gone, and he ended up getting out of a bed completely healed on his faith by believing the Word of God. And that's when I said, I was 30 years old, got born again, January. This revelation came to me about, it must have been about like in February, and I remember saying this, ain't no 16-year-old kid going to outdo me. Most people haven't made a stand on nothing. They're willing to have everybody and everything outdo them. I said, no, if a 16-year-old boy could get out of a deathbed, I would feel ashamed. I would feel ashamed to not have the faith to step. I just said, I'm going to have to do something about this, man. I'm going to have to. What am I going to do? Well, see, you have to decide. See, a revelation came to me and I realized to get to the place that I had to go to was going to cost me something, and I'm going to have to deal with me and my faith. It's going to have to do it. You know, it's just like I got up this morning. I just had to deal with some things, man. You know, you guys were sawing logs and I'm praying so I can say all these crazy things to you. And I go home and say, honey, you think the lady and him will come back next week? So, are we going to be alone next week, maybe? You know, I'm long over the fear of that. I'm long over the fear of that. If nobody comes, I'll find somebody to preach to. There's somebody I want to be free. You see, and understand this. I'm not telling you what I don't. I deal with it. We deal with our faith, and we're always having to measure against this thing. We always got to look at ourselves. Am I really in faith? Is this thing really, or is this just me going through my things? Because, you know, here in America, let's be honest, we can go faithless. I mean, look how well a lot of people in the world do, and they're completely faithless, and many of them do better than Christians. And you have no faith at all. So I don't believe much in this. A lot of these people talk this faith junk. Because you can be good, do good and be faithless. You know, go tell Bill Gates he needs Jesus to bless him. Go tell him. Bill Gates is going to say something about your brain. I hear ministers, faith ministers, telling people like they can't get rich unless, you know, you're given to God. My God, the richest people in the world ain't Christians. You know, and some of these guys out here, they ain't lying and cheating people. They develop products that work, and they sell them, they made money. They did what a lot of Christians don't want to do, work. A lot of Christians, what they want is that, yeah, I just put my money in the offering plate and I'm lazy, but millions show up at the front door. Check that one out, folks. See, we don't deal with these things. We don't sit down and deal with this. It's, you know, God blesses the labor of your hand. Given, you know, what did Paul write about giving? Why do you labor? Why do you work? So you have to give. That's the purpose of the labor. You ain't going to work much. You ain't going to have much money. You're going to have much to give, and you're always going to have not much. Amen. Good preaching, Ed. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, whether we like it or not, hey, it's the system. It's the system. And I've just gotten used to it. That's when the kingdom. And I tell you what, I'm going to labor till I die. Because why? It's the system, God said. I don't need good health not doing nothing. Woo! My God. I sure will fill the place up with the retirees. I'll tell you. Oh, my God. Anyhow, let's get back. They tested these guys out. Now, listen, what Jesus said in verse 3, he said, you persevered, you had patience, have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have something against you. But I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to hurt your feelings. Don't your Bible say that? Dear Lord. Now, he's commended them. No, he said, I have this against you that you've left your first love. He said, remember therefore, for where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. So it's a work, it's something they're doing that they left. He said, or else I will come to you quickly, remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See, repentance, in other words, gee, I thought everything was just forgiven and you didn't have to repent. It's all going to work out. Your sins are all forgiven right away. Gee, Jesus didn't seem to think so. But then again, what does he know? You know, he's not that bright. We have all these geniuses to tell us today who take their little line scripture out of here and point, make these enormous doctrines, write a whole book on a couple words from God. Write a 200-page book full of the devil's talk. And Christians are eating it like it's candy. Loving it. Now, you wrote a book of correction. Let me see how far it goes. I'll tell you how far it goes. Kenneth Hagin called in. The book that was written, you know, The Midas Touch, that book was written from what he talked to calling in. All these big-name ministers were teaching, you know, money and giving to call them in and bring a correction to them, and that's where it came out of. And what came out of them? A bunch of them, they just sort of stayed away from Kenneth Hagin after that. Why? We don't want correction. We don't want Bible correction. We have our own prosperity doctrine. And it's based on some scriptures that we like, but there's other scriptures that talk and deal with it from the side of being careful and doing things and not doing things. And I'm sorry, we don't use those scriptures because they slow the checks down. We don't use those. And so people didn't like it. That isn't what they wanted to hear. Now listen what he says, that this you have. Now I want you to see this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now listen to this. What are you talking? There's something they hated. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. There's things they hated. I was in a church here a few years back, and a minister got up dealing there as a sexual homosexuality. Yes, in the Bible it's wrong, but I don't believe in this. I don't believe you can hate what they do and love them. I don't believe you can do that. I knew this by listening to him, what he was saying. He wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody told me that he was involved in immorality. Why? When people start doing that, the devil will get you into it. If you don't hate sin, you'll be doing it. Whatever you declare is all right to do, you'll be doing it. Jesus commends him. He said he hates it. Now let's take Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans, this comes from the thing of, they believe where it was from is a term of Nicholas in Acts, I think it's the 5th chapter, whatever. This guy was Nicholas of Antioch, was mentioned. And it's believed from concerning him that he had a doctrine, things he started. What it was dealt with is really what John was dealing with writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, was really the fact, really the deity of Jesus Christ, but also the fact that, you know, people got over into things where Jesus, they believed he didn't have flesh like we had flesh. He had flesh, but it wasn't like ours, you know. But they got over into the things, you know, the things of the spirit are more important than the things of the flesh. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh. Oh, sound like the grace message today? Don't matter what you... It's extended. Nothing's new today. The devil preaches the same doctrine and Christians eat it. The same old doctrines come around. And boom, boom, boom. Yep, yep, yep. It's bringing people freedom. And what it is, it led to immorality, and what they had was sexual immorality and things in the church and all these different things that are going on. Now, here they were commended that they hated that doctrine. I want you to tell you this. I hate this new grace doctrine. I hate it because it's devilish, it's evil, and it deceives Christians. I hate it. And Jesus goes, okay, Ed, all right. You're in the same club I'm in. I hate it too. He hates it. He hates what these guys are preaching. He loves them, but that don't mean they're going to heaven because he loves them. They keep sending people to hell, they will be there with them. You can't go out and preach and sin's all right and end up in heaven. Because as we read through these things, this stuff gets a little scary to the once saved, always saved group. That's why they never read these, because they never fit their doctrine. Never. It bothers people. Listen, he who has an ear, listen, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. He didn't say everybody's just going to all eat the tree of life. He said the ones who overcome. We know very little about this overcoming life. We have a I accepted Jesus one time, live any old way I want, and we're all going to heaven. Jesus didn't believe that. The tree of life. Everybody who goes to heaven is going to eat of the tree of life, because the Bible talks about those trees in the ones in heaven, and it talks about the growing and the producing of their fruit. Everybody's going to be eating from them. If people ain't going to be eating from them, there's a reason. And we'll look at these things. One of the churches, we'll end with this one today. One of the churches, Jesus told them, they didn't repent, turn. He said, I'll blot you out of the book, your name out of the book of life. I'll blot your name out of it. Jesus said that. He didn't give them a trophy. See, we don't like to hear these things. We don't like to hear them. But look, the whole point of this is the fact, this is the Word of God. To believe these things are true and take them and receive them is what gives you the power to overcome. To refuse them and want this sloppy grace stuff that's taught, that it's okay to live in sin, it just leads you to more sin. And it makes you powerless. That's what it does. The more I read these, I say, these are true, these are true. Doesn't matter what I think on the subject. People ask, well, what do you believe about that? Don't matter what I believe. It's what the Bible says, and I'm settled on the fact. If I do different, the Bible's right and Ed's wrong. That's it. It's not something in between. When the Bible becomes the truth, when it becomes the unchangeable truth, is Jesus the Word of God? Then to defy the Word is to defy Jesus Christ Himself. It's not to defy, well, the Word, yeah, I don't believe, but I still love Jesus. You can't have it that way. You can't not love the Word and love Jesus. He is the Word. He is the words of life. That Word, those words that I'm preaching, they produce nothing without Jesus. He's the producer of it. He's the one is why the seed is incorruptible. It's Him. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost does nothing but promote Jesus Christ. That's what He does. You can't turn against the Word and you and the Holy Ghost and Jesus be buddies. Impossible. Impossible. Faith is based upon the Word. The Word's true. And if it ain't working for me, then there's something untrue about it. It's not untrue about somebody else. Well, I'm doing my best. I'm trying my best. Jesus never told anybody to try the Word. He never said, do your best. He said, believe the Word. You believe it. We have this thing somehow, you know, we can get a shot at it. Trying something ain't faith. It don't take any faith to try something. You just take from the natural. Do you ever get around people? Well, yeah, I'll try that. You know, it's like, I tell people, don't even bother, waste your time. Your attitude, you ain't going to do nothing with it anyhow. Don't waste your time. Well, we're going to try that. I never tried the Bible. I proved it was true. If it's the truth, you can prove it out. The Word is always true. You must come to the standpoint that the Word is true and you are not. If what you're doing is not, if it isn't in line with the Word, it's not right. It's not truth. It cannot produce. The Word will always produce. The most joyful thing is when I finally, in me, I just got so settled. The Word will produce what it says. That's it. I don't want to hear another thing on the subject about it. The Word, it's an incorruptible seed. And if I believe it, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, I believe it and I have no doubt in my heart. And I say that thing, it's happening. It's coming to pass. And if it don't happen, what's wrong with it? See, I learned, judge me. I never judge the Word. The Word's always right. I got to judge me. That's the success of faith. People step out on the Word. They judge the wind. They judged all these different. They're judging these things around them against the Word, and the wind and their feelings always take precedence over the Word. And they say, I don't understand. I'm believing God. Why don't it work? They've never believed God. Their faith is in the wind. The faith is in their feelings. Their faith is in what the doctor said. Their faith is in this. Their faith is in the broken down car. Their faith in something. And they'll say, I'm believing the Word. No, 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 no. The Word's right. What I see around me will change if I stand on the Word. It must change. It has to change because the Word will produce a change. And you got to become convinced. I'm going to keep doing this thing till I make it work. I'm going to keep doing it till I get myself. I'm never going to judge the Word and say, Jesus, you're wrong. I'm not going to do that. Jesus is right. Ed's wrong. It's that simple. The only way Ed gets right is if he's in line with Jesus. That is the only way. I have no other measuring stick. I will not let any other one around me. I must always judge me. Judge me. What do I got? Anything I judge that I look around in, I must use the measuring stick of the Word. See, that's what these people did. The guy come along and said to the apostle, they got out the measuring stick of the Word. And he said, this guy don't fit the picture. He ain't a sent one from God. He ain't producing the right stuff. The Word says this. He says he's that. Uh-uh. Nope, 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 nope. This is what the Word says. This over here is what he says. Well, no, and he's producing that. Nah, nah, nah. Nope, that's not it. The Word's your safeguard. You will not know the Holy Spirit dealing with you if you don't listen to the Word, because that's how the Holy Ghost deals with me, with the Word. This morning, I'd asking the Holy Ghost some questions about some things. And you know what? He would give me, all of a sudden, and a scripture would come to light to me. He didn't tell me, Ed, you're just okay, you're wonderful. Don't worry about nothing, it's all going to... No, he'd bring a scripture. Why does he do that? Faith comes by hearing. He wants to produce faith in me. Faith in the Word of God is the power to change things. Telling you you're nice ain't producing faith. The Word produces faith. The Word produces... Tell me what the Word says. And the Word says, Ed, you're a knucklehead. Strap up, do this. Okay, good. Now I can come to faith. Because faith is the power to change things. The Holy Ghost, I've learned about Him. He's always moving me toward the area of faith. Why is that? Because that's the only thing that pleases God. That's it. He will always move you to that. Oh, the power in the Word of God. The power that's in the Word of God when it's believed. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin said this, just about, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was a teenager preaching as a pastor in a church. He's like 19 years old, he's a pastor of a church. Kenneth Hagin understood and got healed by faith, so in his church, he was teaching in a Methodist church. And Methodists believed a whole lot different back in those days than they do today. They actually thought the Bible was the Word of God back then. Now it's toilet paper. And, you know, they believed it. And but he began to teach people in his church faith and about faith and healing, because he said, I knew about that. I knew how to believe God. And he said, we had really great success, people getting healed in our church. He said, when I went over among the Pentecostals, he said, our church got more healings than the Pentecostals did. In other words, the Spirit-filled people did, because they were always wanting the gifts of the Spirit manifestation. But he said, we taught faith, and he said, they could only have healing when the Holy Ghost manifested it. He said, we could have it all the time, because he said, we taught people by faith in the Word. And he said this, and I, young Christian, I got this, and I still have it today. It ain't changed. Faith in the Word of God is the highest level of faith, not gifts of the Spirit, not ministry gifts, none of that stuff. Faith in the Word of God is the highest level of faith you can go to. Faith in why? This incorruptible seed, believe, can produce anything that Word says. You don't have to wait for a move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you the Word to believe. He'll give it to you. He wants you to make it explode. He wants you to do that. He wants you to get out there. Once you got a harvest, He don't want you to wait till you use that harvest. You get right behind planting, going right in behind that thing. Like Mike said today, you just get right in behind. Now everybody, we want to say, well, I got a blessing from God. Now I'm going to sit back. And then within a few months, everything's a mess again. Say, ah. You know how this stuff goes. Why? They didn't jump right back in the thing with the Word. You keep one crop after another crop after another crop after another crop. You just keep at this thing and pushing and pushing forward. Why? Because if you don't, you go sit down. The devil never sits down. He's like God from the standpoint. He does not sleep nor slumber. Haven't you noticed? Haven't you noticed? Christians sleep and slumber. And what does Paul wrote about that? What we're not supposed to be doing, sleeping and slumbering in this hour during this time. And most Christians are sleeping and slumbering, trying to live off the good of yesterday. Of, oh, I got saved and God did all these nice things. What's God doing today? Not a thing. Can't see nothing. Boy, we're just trying to get something. Any little thing I can get a hold of. Boy, I'm just trying to get something. Man, I just... Why? Sleeping and slumbering. When I came into the kingdom, they weren't sleeping and slumbering. People were after the things of God. They'd stay up all night to get it. People would do anything. They would stand 2 hours before the doors opened on a building to get inside to hear the Word of God preach. You can't even get the people here in this church on time, much less anybody would stand at the door to get anything. Now, I know it hurts your feelings, but I'll tell you what. You ought to think of what it does to God. God knows whether you expect to get anything here or not. By your fruit, it shows up. This is correction. I didn't have this plan to say, Lord, maybe I shouldn't have prayed. This is good preaching. It's a sign of your faith. It's the fruit you produce. Whew. It's good we have carpet floors. You can hear the pen. You know. Presbyterians get awful quiet when you do. Hallelujah! I'm going to tell you, that's God talking. This is what I learned a long time ago. You need to get this. Your fruit is showing up all the time. God sees it all the time in what you expect. And people say, sir, are you coming expecting? Lots of people are, yeah, we're coming expecting. I always think about, there's loads of them ain't come expecting. I know their fruit. They ain't expecting nothing. It's what you do. I got out of bed 4:30 this morning because I was expecting something. And I learned this. I'll make something come to pass. I'll get up to do it. You know, it's just nice to sleepwalk in the door. We don't want to set up anymore and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It can make people lazy. Spiritually lazy. Everything we try to make so convenient, and everybody loves convenience. There's things I like of convenience, but there's things, I'll tell you what, you know, we don't set up. I'm here at the same time, whether we had to set up or don't set up. I'm here at the same time because I'm in here praying. I'm not in here just trying to get into the church at the last minute, seeing how close we can hit the clock, you know, because I'm really expecting a move of God. I talked to these people back. Is anybody back here? No, there's nobody back there. I'm down, down, talk to the kids. Maybe they'll. But see, it's part of expectation. This is one of the things we had moved God years ago. People were after God. They wanted God more than anything. They wanted God beyond their convenience. The church today only wants convenience. Give me the softest chair, give me the things, and I'm going to. No, get a hard chair, keep you awake. The only time I've sat down this morning since we've done this thing is I've sat down up here a little bit before doing the worship, and they did that before. Actually it wasn't a worship, but when we turned around and did the offering. And all morning I've been walking around here and praying. I was at home walking around and praying and that stuff. Drove in here in the car, got out of the car, come in here, praying and stuff. I've already been active a lot of hours. And I ain't tired. And boy, I just need to sit down and I got to have lunch right now. I hope he gets over. I tell you, I'm hungry. I was just this morning, got up late and I just didn't get to eat. But I want to tell her this or that and the other thing. Give me lunch now. Dominated by the body. Ruled by the body. Jesus said by their fruit. What people produce. What we do shows what we are. I just trying to get people. This is faith I'm talking about. This is faith stuff. Faith isn't sitting around making some stupid confession. All the confessions, and they can be in line with the Word. What's produced shows your faith, not what you said. If what you said and what you're producing are two different things, hold it! It'll produce something. It'll produce things. You know, when before in the ministry and that stuff, I always worked at places. They always expected me to show up at work in time. I'm just going to be honest about this. Christians that won't show up for God on time show one thing. If they show up to work on time every day, their work is more important than God is. That's the fruit of it. I'm just telling you, that's the fruit of it. Do you know, like Wanda and I, we drove long distances to go to the church. We used to go down to worship. We went to Loyola. When they were down there in Loyola and that stuff, we drove down there. My God, I always got to church before the people down in Loyola got to church. Because I always believed God was going to do something. You know what? See, people wonder, well, maybe because you're a minister, God does to you. No, he don't! Because I expect him to do something. I act like he's going to do something. So I want to get there because something's going to happen. Now, well, I'll just show up there. You know, doctor gives an appointment. I wouldn't show up late. Dear God, you'd run over little kids on the street to get there on time so you could get to that doctor fast enough. Make sure you weren't late. Don't want to miss that appointment. We're preaching about fruit. I didn't plan on going there, but the Lord said he's going to talk today, so he's talking. So, but you can stone me for it. I don't mind. I don't know. He pays good. He'll do good. But I'm just telling you that we need to get back to this place where we were years ago, this going after God, where he becomes number one again. We got to come back to it. Where it's important to us. Where it's not this sideshow with God. It's, well, you know, I could take a prayer and not praying, just this or that, you know. People are so sluggish and lazy and just, you know, they can take God or leave him. But you let a problem happen, now it's on, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Confession of Faith, and I'm just trusting the Lord. People wonder why things don't come to pass. Folks, we need to change in these areas. We need major changes. Now look, God's not against you. You know what he said? And we'll read about it next week. He said he corrects the ones he loves. He chastens them. I'm going to tell you, you need to understand this. If God didn't love you, he'd have said none of this today. He wouldn't try to straighten you out. You need to understand this. You people have told me you wanted to go somewhere. You should have never said it if you don't want to hear these things. You should have never said it. I'm just telling you. I learned that. Don't ever tell God you want to go somewhere more spiritual. Because there's only one thing that happens when you want to do that. Correction starts. And it's not being mean. It's to correct your course so you can get to where you want to go. You know, it's just like out here in the natural. You want to go to drive someplace, you can head in a general direction. But by the time you want to get close to there, you better have a fine tune of roads that head to that place you want to be. And there's roads that if you take, you're never going to end up there. And say, I don't like to drive this road, it's rough. Too bad. If you want to get to the place you want to go, get on the road and shut your blood mouth. Don't ask God to go take you someplace where you don't want to. If you just want all comfortable roads, there are none. The road, you know what? We'll make the road straight. We're the ones that are going to have to get the lumps out of the road. We're the ones that are going to have to get the rock. Because that junk we put there, that junk we got laid out here, that junk that has to be moved. Sometimes that junk is just because of our lack of knowledge of the Word of God. And you have to just remove that junk out of that lack of knowledge and things you thought were certain ways. And you got to go there. And the worst thing, I tell you what, it's hard to get rid of your precious beliefs that you have cleaved to and thought. And they were precious to you. And then you come over to the things and find out, gee, I can't, there's certain things I can't do, and I can't smooch up on these other people that I always like so much. They're going to get upset because I get following God. Now I got a choice to make. Am I going to still smooch up on them, or am I going to go, if I go this way and I tell them I can't hang out with you anymore because I want to find out what Jesus said about hanging out, ones you got to get away from. Well, we don't have that in the church world today. We're going to love all these Christians in and love it. No, you ain't. I want Christians to believe homosexuality, you know, any kind of, you know, fornication, adultery, and anything else. They think that stuff's right. I want them to know I don't want to hang around with them. And if they don't repent and turn from it, I don't want to be around them. I want them to know you can't hang out with me and have that kind of thinking. I want them to know that. I want them to know we aren't having lunch. Don't call me for lunch. If you want to do those things, don't call Ed for lunch. I do what the Word says. Don't as much as eat with them if they want to do that stuff. Now, I ain't going to act hatred, but I told this, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. I'm trying to get somewhere, and I can't get there following that. Just as an example of this, getting somewhere, a minister's fellowship. Now, we're all born again. Most of them are filled with the Spirit. The majority of them were, anyhow. I'm in this minister's fellowship. Now, when the things first started off, it was mostly all Spirit-filled ministers and things, and people generally were believing down the same line. But over time, they started letting people in, others in. And what happens is the others, they start letting in, they started tolerating things about their beliefs. And what happened was, a little leaven leavens a whole lump, because their beliefs weren't aligned with the Word. But they tolerated it and let them in. And so what I saw, the move of the Spirit started getting less and less in the meetings. See, God don't tolerate your nonsense. God don't tolerate your stuff. He don't tolerate it. And I noticed they started doing it. So in other words, then they went over the thing, well, now, so we can't have that, so let's get this doctrine. And they started preaching things like all the time, like vision, you know, write down the vision, and they'd have their vision, and let's shoot for our vision, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, trying to replace, now, you don't have a move of God, so now you're trying to, well, we'll get a great vision and fulfill it. But I found this out, it was their vision. It wasn't God's vision. God had already had a vision working, and they turned it. By those people, if those people wanted to come, it's like, if you want to join me, you're going to join me in where I believe. You can believe anything you want, you're allowed to, but I ain't joining you. So you're allowed to, any one of you can believe anything you want. I can believe anything I want. I'm allowed to. God will let me. God will let me believe crazy, weird things. I'm allowed to, but that don't mean you have to join me in my stupid beliefs. Because if you do, you're an idiot. Because why? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now you're okay. Because we don't want to say, no, that belief's wrong. We can't have that. I told a minister, used to come here to minister, and I told him, I can't have him back because he's getting too many things off inside. He said, well, I won't preach that at your church. And I said, no, you won't even preach at all in this church. Because I said, the Spirit you got is going to affect. See, here's where the people get off on this thing. They don't realize we're talking about Spirit. The Spirit a person has. A little leaven leavens the whole lump is not from the physical act. It's the immortal Spirit in the person starts to work on in other people's hearts. And then other people, it start yielding to that Spirit. Homosexuals and fornicators and that stuff, they end up keep doing that. They get a Spirit. They get a Spirit that clings to them. That's why he said you keep that spirit out of the church. And you see, these people, they started getting into this. And one day the Lord spoke to me. Now, these are all Christians. The majority of them are spirit-filled. One of them was head of the, was over the things with Rhema, with Rhema. And he was a guy in charge of this thing. And he, come on, the Lord speaks to me one day. I'm praying because I just was not satisfied with the ministerial group anymore. Because I could see going, the things of the Spirit. It was all nice talk, giving you books on stuff, all that. Read this latest book. Oh, this latest book is, and you read these books and you think, dear God, if that's the best God can do, we're in trouble. And anyhow, they had all this stuff and they're all trying to find God. I thought, dear Lord, I did that the night I got saved. I mean, he moved in. I'm not trying to find God. Where are these people at? You know? And so one day I'm praying, mind my own business, praying away. And the Lord speaks to me and he said, you can't stay with them and end up where you want to be. This is why some Christians never will ever end up where they want to be in their heart because of what they're connected to. They connect to too many things that ain't good. They connect to things that are like, I like to hear, I like to this. But what does God want to do? And the Lord said to me, see, I had been praying about a move of the Spirit. And the Lord said, you ain't going to have one of them. You know what? And they don't have moves of the Spirit. They don't have them anymore. You know, they have a, we preach and then, if you want ministered to after the service, we have a back room back here that we lock the Holy Ghost in. And we have him tied down back there. And if you want to go back, he might talk to you or most likely not. But you can go back there and we'll fake like God's here. Because, see, we have more than one service and God has to run within our time frame. Did we have time frames when we started off in this? Time frames, my God. We would camp out overnight. We did not care for anything for God. We wanted God. We were so hungry from God, we did not care. We didn't think anything else. You know, man, I can't stay at this service. It's too long. I got to get up for work. My God, if we went from a service to work, we didn't care. I need my 8 hours sleep. But we'll cast the devil out of you and get you free from that. Well, the doctor said, I need to have my... Yeah, it'd be better if you got your spirit free and you could get free of your doctor. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I ain't sleepy this morning, have you noticed? And I'll tell you this, I won't go to bed till late tonight. I don't want to take a nap. I'll just go to bed late tonight too. It don't matter to me. I run off more than physical energy. There's more in me. There's a greater one in me. And he ain't napping. Hallelujah. Now we go to the point, there's not, I go to sleep. But sleep ain't the top of the agenda of anything. Eating food ain't the top of the agenda. It's not number one on the list. Those things aren't, because neither of those will get you to where you want to go spiritually. And so you need to understand these things. Hallelujah. See, we need to come around to start listening. We need to let Jesus tell us, you know, to separate. You know, there's ones here. I'm just telling you this. There's people you need separated from. There's people you need separated from. There's people, you have been uncomfortable about it, but you're in this fake love thing, thinking you have to put up with stuff. Let me just tell you, I read an article, really blew me away here a few months back, because it came from a sinner. This woman doctor who did a study, and she found out the people pleasers that always say yes. They said, if you don't have the word no in your vocabulary and use it often, they're basically telling you why people have messed up lives, depression, and all this kind of stuff. The bottom line is this, is the weakness to be loved. They want to be loved so much. Most Christians know nothing about the love of God. They're so insecure in love, they're trying to make people love them. They're only nice to people because they're trying to get loved. So when you try to get loved, this is what you do. They do bad. I give them a trophy. I don't want to say anything, but they might not talk to me anymore. They might not like it. They call and they want to go to coffee. I ain't got time. I won't say no. Let's set my other stuff aside because I got to keep them happy. We can't turn and say, no, I can't do that right now. I'm doing this. We can't do that. Oh, no. if you really love, this is what you're going to do. If you really love, and see, it was a people here. It's because people are trying to get love. They don't have it. The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. There's one thing I've learned about the love of God. He loves me. I'm secure in that love, whether anybody else loves me or not. The rest of it don't matter. I'm not moved whether you like me or not. I can't be my motive. Because if you minister out of that, if that's what you're going to, understand, that's the spirit you're going to minister from to people. You're going to minister out of your weakness and your frailty. Instead of meeting out the power of the love of God, I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to minister you and I'm going to bless you whether you want it or not. We're going to do something. We're going to follow God because we want the power of God to show up to change things. Not to have everybody patting on the back and say, oh, it's all wonderful. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to love you anyhow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you understand me or not. I'm going to love you anyhow. That's just the way it is. It's freedom to be like that. Say, it don't matter. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love them no matter what. I'm going to love them. I don't have to have them loving me so I can feel good tomorrow. I get up in the morning. Honey, maybe they didn't love me after I preached that. Maybe they didn't like me. Believe me, I know a pastor was like that. I had to put up with him for a long time. God sent me there to that church. And he was a whiner. You know? They didn't like my message. Would you come and pat me on the back? Tell me I'm all right. It was okay. Tell me it was a good sermon. No, it wasn't. It was lousy. They didn't like it because it wasn't the word of God. You said something dumb. You know, you can't have that. And this is the world we're living in. It's not a good world, is it? Let's stand our feet. God's called you to freedom. God's called you to freedom. Now, I'm just going to ask something. The Lord spoke to me about this, and I'm just going to do it. If you have been dealing with pressure, things coming against you, and things just keep coming against you and coming against you, and you just think, this and that. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm asking, so if you want, and you want to be ministered to, I want you to come down. If you're in that class, I want you to think right now. Think about it. You know, if you've been under pressure, things you just need a release on. There's things that are, come on down. Come down. Don't sit around, stand around there, and then we're going to come wandering down. If you're sitting and things have been pressure on you, stuff has been going on, whether it's your physical body and things, but there's things just keep coming, just keep hammering. You know, it seemed like you get a hit on one thing, another thing's gone or something else. You need it. Nothing wrong with me. That's why I was up praying this morning, because I needed help. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want delivered. I want set free from something. I want to step into something. You know, it isn't a matter of thing wrong. Many times people are under pressure because the devil wants to keep you from taking a step further. He don't want you to go beyond. You can be doing really good and end up in a lot of pressure. You know, I'm sitting around praying all the time, asking God, I want to be preaching the right things and saying the right things. And what happens? I end up under pressure. Well, ain't God bringing me pressure, but the devil brings pressure because the devil said, don't you be preaching that. Don't you be saying that. If you wouldn't believe how the devil talks. You get up and say that stuff in front of them, boy, they're going to hate you. They're going to leave. They ain't going to put up with that. I leave the church. There's a voice that'll talk to me when I leave here. Said, oh, you shouldn't have said that this morning. You shouldn't have done. There'll be a voice. I'll guarantee you there'll be a voice talking. When I go out here, the wind will blow. Hallelujah. But I expect the wind to blow. Me and the devil will have a discussion and I'll laugh and he'll get mad. That's what's going to happen. Because it don't matter no more. But see, you got to come to that place. There's a war and I ain't giving up. Sometimes the wind even seems bigger. It seems bigger and bigger and bigger. Now what we're going to do is administering this morning. I'm going to lay hands on you. But I want to know that this one thing. We have a God side and a man side on everything. God don't do everything. And you don't do everything. But you need to act. Always act on what you know. Act on what you know to do. The anointing destroys the yoke. Lots of times what we want is we want the anointing, and the anointing just does everything. Many times with the anointing means we need to act on certain things, and then that power of God begins to work. In other words, the Bible tells us we need to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, the pressure you've been dealing with, I don't care if it's a physical body or whatever it is. A lot of this pressure going on is going as the devil. He's just doing things. As I said to the Lord here about in our body, different people being attacked. And the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, he said the devil's just doing stuff. He's doing stuff. You need to identify it for what it is. There's a spiritual battle just trying to deal with your healing on the physical side. It ain't going to work. You'll labor at it. You'll labor at it. We don't want to labor at it. We need all the spiritual help we can get, don't we? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Hey, I don't have a red S on my chest. I ain't got one of them. I don't have a suit, nor do I have a phone booth. I got none of them. Ed gets up in the morning and he's in his underwear. He looks silly. Now, hallelujah. The power is what's in me. Because greater is in he that's in me that's he that's in the world. Hallelujah. The greater one's on the inside. There's an anointing. I can face whatever I got to because the one on the inside will put me over. And the one on the inside will put you over in the name of Jesus. And the anointing comes on us. And like the anointing comes on me, it's like a, you know, in a sense, administering the anointing to people is just sort of like a little, you know, it's just like an extra pour of fire on somebody. Or it's like, you know, just adding something extra to what you got, to what you already have. See, you already have something in you. You know, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost in you. You got the power of God in you. The anointing comes to help to fortify you in things. It helps you out. Hallelujah. Lots of times to better able yield to the Holy Ghost in you. That's what it does. Hallelujah. See, the anointing, I have the anointing to preach. That anointing comes on me. That gives me the ability to take what's in the inside of me and pour it out of me. The Holy Ghost is in there. He'll get talking and I preach along and all of a sudden I'll just know things I need to say. And sometimes I have this choice. The anointing's there, but I have a choice to whether I want to say it or not. Oh, believe me, there's things I've held off on many times. Believe me. Then I go home and then the voice of the Lord comes. You've never had that, I know. You're just all so sweet. But hallelujah. But I'm going to lay hands on you. And then listen on the inside of you. There's one of the biggest things that is this. Listen on the inside of you as you go on through the week. Follow what's in the inside of you. You folks have enough of the word in you. And the Holy Ghost can lead you by it. And things will come up inside of you. Just act on it. Walk in it. Do that. I'll tell you what. He's going to put you over. He's going to put you over. No doubt. He'll put you over. Hallelujah. Father, these are your servants. They're yours. You bought them with a price. Hallelujah. They belong to you. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Lord God, what a wonderful Lord and Savior they have. What a glorious Savior. And Lord God, you're always constantly looking at their best interest. You're not a selfish God. You want to help them. You want to strengthen them. You see the things that are going on in their life. Lord God, you give them direction, but you give them correction too. But Lord God, you're not against them. Lord God, you want them to have victory. Victory. Victory on every side. And I just right now, devil, in the name of Jesus, these are children of God. These belong to God. They have a blood covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to get your hands off of them. I command you to cease and desist in your operations against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. You will bow to the blood of Jesus Christ. You will bow to the name which is above every name right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the anointing. The anointing in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him with might by the inner man. Hallelujah. Strengthen with might by the inner man. Full of strength. Full of strength and might by the Holy Ghost working in him. Hallelujah. Lord God, fulfilling, bringing to pass the things, the desires that you have placed in him. And they're coming to pass in the name of Jesus. And they will all come to pass at last. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the anointing, the anointing. Father, I thank you for the anointing, destroying every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Thinking thoughts clearly led, what's on the inside, rising up to the outside. The spirit of seeing and knowing, the spirit of seeing and knowing what to do, how to act on it, the glory and the power. power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The anointing that destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Bondage broken in the name of Jesus. Freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. Understanding, knowing what to do. Oh, yeah. Seeing, seeing clearly, clearly, clearly. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, 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 yes. You're not weak and frail. You're strong in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You will fulfill the plan of God. You will do it. You will stand up and march. You'll be a soldier. Hallelujah. Because you are. God has called you out and you will walk in it and in its glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the yoke, the yoke, the yoke. Thoughts, wrong thoughts, wrong thoughts. Thoughts of the past that hold you in bondage. You are not what you think many times. You stand in a place. You stand in a place that God has put you as His child. And things and thoughts of the place of in the past have hindered. But break those thoughts in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that the power of God will come forth in you. Hallelujah. There's a freedom. Ha ha. That laughter will be on your voice again. Hallelujah. And great joy, because God has put that upon you. That's what belongs to you. The past is gone. What was said and done is no longer there. It matters no more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These words, the last days are going to be better than your first. Oh, oh my, these days, you've walked in the past, stumbled on some, oh, you'd come and walk places, but then there'd be a stumbling. Those days are gone forever. Those days are gone. Those days are gone, because these are the days of triumph. These are the days of the glory of God and God's hand upon you. You have desired greatly the things of God, and you'll not be disappointed. For He shall not hold back, but He freely gives and freely pours out. And it's yours in Jesus' name. It's yours in Jesus' name. It's yours in Jesus' name. It's yours. It's yours in Jesus' name. Abrigimana nakasa, vevredege shishile atishema makiatishamura, vemvregidegoniano kurkenyud, vevrigilietase, vrobria mamakiaton de galebea shili, embregede fadiata she. These are the days of the breaking forth. These are the days of the breaking forth. For I, the Lord, said, I shall break forth. And I shall break forth as a great thunder and a great lightning. And I shall move forth in the land. And I shall shake things. Oh, yes, shake things. Many will wail and cry and say, oh, the things that I loved, the things that I wanted, oh, they're gone, they're destroyed. But I, the Lord, say, I shall rise up in this day and I shall bring forth the things of glory. And oh, then men will drop the things that they thought were good. And they will grab a hold of that glory. They will come and walk in that glory and say, why did we hold on so long to those things? For those things were not good, but the glory of God is good. And I am pouring it out on you this day. This day it belongs to you. It is yours. Reach out and receive it and take it and say, Lord, I'm laying aside the past. I'm laying aside the things I thought were good, and I'm taking a hold to what's new and fresh today. I'm taking a hold of the fresh anointing, and there's a new fire, Lord, to start upon me. So pour it out upon me today, Lord. Give it to me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God in the name of Jesus. The anointing. The anointing. The anointing. Oh, yes. 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 Breaking those things. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Restoring that joy of the past. Restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That joy. That joy. Oh, the things have come and robbed, things have stolen. But I, the Lord, saith, those days of stealing are over, for that spirit will not dominate you, that spirit, but you will rule. You will rule and reign with me, saith the Lord, and walk forth as a giant in these days in the place that I've called you to, and you will fulfill the things that I have said you would. There's desires in your heart, and they will come forth. They are yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are yours in Jesus' name. They are yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Now the Lord wants me to say this to you. Have you noticed, by taking correction, the power reveals itself? Oh, the power will come in greater measures. as we yield more and more to God and let Him say anything He wants, the power will come in greater measures. It's going to come in greater measures. Hallelujah. Why? Because He corrects the one He loves. And what do He want? He wants to reveal Himself to the ones He loves. God don't love at a distance. God don't love it. God ain't on Facebook. When somebody friends God and God friends somebody, He's touchable. He comes and touches them. That's what He does. He don't send a text. Ain't nothing about text and stuff. But I'm just telling you. See, we have a life and we have a different thing. God is touchable. See, there's one thing as I learned is God's tangible. And when we believe God and we walk by faith, God becomes more and more tangible. God can be felt. God can be touched. Now, faith isn't having to have a touch or a feel. But I want to tell you what, faith will bring touch and feeling. This morning, while I was praying, I wasn't first feeling a thing, but I'm praying. And all of a sudden, inside of me, there was just a release came up in me. I mean, it's like, whew, it's just like a fresh, oh, it's inside of me, it just came up. See, God's touchable. He manifests Himself. That's what you want. You want the manifestation. You don't want to just talk. And that's the whole point. God, the power comes when we're willing to take correction. God, I just want to tell you, what do we got to do? What do I have to do? I don't want to keep standing under this pressure. I don't want to keep walking. There's a barrier. Understand this. Every time you come along spiritually and you want to take to a new level, you're going to find pressure to try to keep you out of that level. You're going to always find that. There's nothing wrong with you. That's just the way it is. There's always more required. The devil will never want you to cross that barrier. If he can keep you out of that barrier, he can keep you out of that place you want to go through. Many times, God's opened doors to people to things they've never gone through because as soon as they start to head for it, the devil brings pressure and they back off. Say, no, I'm going through that thing. I'm going through this thing. You can know in the inside. There's times I know on the inside. There's a thing I need to step through. There's a thing I need to grab a hold of. It's there. I know it. I need to grab a hold of it. Boy, but it seems like every time I reach for it, there's a pushing back. Sometimes it seems like you get your hand on it, but then the next day it seems like you're back further away from it than you were before. But you've got to come to it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to push through. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And you're going to have to do that. There's nothing wrong with us if that comes. That's the norm. You're in a war. Whether you like it or not. I don't care if you didn't volunteer for it. Tough, you're in it. It don't matter. You're in it. You're either going to fight it or float along in it and turn around and get shot on the sideline somewhere and we'll do your funeral. But there's one thing. It's a war. It's just here. And there's battles. There's things going on. And there's a devil out here and he hates you. He hates you. And he ain't going to be nice to you. And you know what? He's going to be in this earth. He ain't leaving. One day we're going to leave, but he's still going to be here. He's here. Faith ain't about disappearing the devil. I found out the more I walk with faith, the madder he gets. He wants to stop you. Don't let him stop you. Accept nothing but the power of God. Accept nothing. Say, God, I ain't moving or changing. Your power is going to manifest itself. Your power is going to blow the doors open on us. It's your power. Hallelujah. That's what I'm counting on. The anointing that destroys the yoke. Hallelujah. I don't want the yoke, loosened a little bit. I want it destroyed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord God, Father, for your kindness and goodness. Lord God, I want to thank you because, Lord God, I know with all my heart, you love these people. Your compassion and care for them. Lord God, you have a vision for their future and you see a people of giants that are giants. You see a people that are giants. That there are giants in the land. Hallelujah. There's giants in the land. Poor people that are full of faith in the Holy Ghost. People, hallelujah, standing up by the Word of God and the glory of God revealed. A people, Lord God, that are not to be seen of themselves, but they magnify the Lord. And the glory of God's upon them and Jesus is seen upon them. And Lord God, that's your people. And Lord God, your desire is to lead them on because you're calling for people. Lord, many are not accepting the call, but Lord, I believe they have. I believe they've accepted the call. I believe they want it. I believe their desire is for it. I believe that's why you're drawing them forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're raising up champions. You're raising up champions. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're raising up people that can go the full rounds. They'll go the full 14 rounds in the match. They're not going to go sit down. They're going to go the whole length. Hallelujah. They're going to walk forward in the name of Jesus Christ. You've called them to it. And Lord God, these will be a people who will persevere. They will not back down in the name of Jesus. They'll stand upon your word and your glory will be revealed to them. Hallelujah. Your glory. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.